All right, welcome everybody. Thanks for joining again here this week. We are going to talk about building an effective hiring and onboarding system in your landscape business. So I'm going to kind of share some things that I've used over the years in growing my companies and kind of give you a little insight on some things that I think often people just don't take enough care in when really trying to hire people. So you've heard me say this in many, many past episodes. Kind of optimizing the business relies on two things. One, we always have to be finding better customers with, you know, more opportunity for higher revenue per hour work. But then we also have to be building great people to be able to do that work and do it effectively. And so I really think if I were kind of choosing where to optimize first, I would definitely focus on optimizing people. And I think that all starts with the way that we decide to hire and onboard our staff and who we decide to hire. And so this system, I think, is one of the most important things to focus on in the business. Yet most small business owners, me included, you've probably heard me tell jokes about my hiring process from the early years. Most of us don't get really good at hiring. And so our businesses are really limited by our ability to find and attract and hire and onboard and then keep great employees. And so this process that we're about to talk about over the next half hour may very well be one of the most important things that you could possibly focus on in your business. And so there's a huge amount of return on time invested in doing these things well. So I've only got 30 minutes here, so I'm going to go really fast. But these are things that you should be doing in the business really, really well. And if you're not, then, you know, think about it a little bit after we wrap up and maybe start to put some time in your calendar to really optimize this process. So we'll get started. Writing and posting really good job ads, this is something that is a game changer. I think most businesses kind of rush this. They write job ads that are not well written. They're generally, you know, wage basics in terms of skills that are needed, maybe the basics in terms of like physical capabilities. When you really look down the job ads in the landscape section, they're not very appetizing jobs. They're often, you know, more or less advertisements for a strong back and a weak mind. And, you know, quite frankly, that doesn't cut it in this business. I think we offer trades jobs. We should be offering apprenticeships. We should eliminate the term laborer entirely from our job ads. I think we should be selling a career. The compensation package should be clear and the opportunity to earn more should be clear. So I think, you know, advertising a position with a starting wage and explaining what the future opportunity is. So if you are advertising for apprenticeships, start by explaining, you know, what the apprenticeship is, but get clear on what that compensation opportunity looks like in year two, year three, year four, so that people really understand that they're signing up for a career when they look at your job ad. Key responsibilities, of course, very important. You know, what are people expected to do once they get this job? Any qualifications or requirements, you know, obviously all very important. But these things tend to show up in everybody's job ads. What doesn't, though, is a true company overview explaining what your mission is, why your company exists, what impact your company is going to have on its employees, its customers, the community. What the culture is in your company, really kind of explain to them everything they need to know before coming to work in your company. And I think that if that's not in the job ad, then you're probably selling yourself short and you're probably attracting the wrong people. I think it gets, you know, to be a little more important than most of us think in terms of trying to attract the right people in telling your company story so that you actually attract the right people. Because, you know, sometimes you're going to deter people, which, you know, is good. And it certainly saves you hiring them only for them to realize that they weren't really looking to work in a company like yours after all. So we want to be as honest and transparent as possible about what our company is today, what it's going to be in the future, what our mission is, the impact that we plan on having, and what our culture looks like. How to apply, you know, we want to make that as easy as possible. Ideally, we want to be able to apply online or by email. Website section, I think most companies have started to build out careers pages on their website. Some have done it really well. I can tell you for sure the companies who have heavily invested here are seeing really, really good results. So when you're directing them to your website, if there's an easy way to apply right there on the webpage, that's ideal. You know, basic form fills are ideal. Many workers don't have great resumes put together, but they're willing to go to the effort to fill out a form online. Using social media, I think this one's, again, very underused. I think using paid social media ads on Instagram, Facebook certainly have a big impact. Definitely get more applicants, more of the right applicants, because you can kind of zero in on people that have an interest in this business. And then, of course, you know, using online job boards and using job boards to promote your ads. I think this is one that many companies are overlooking. And I think spending a little bit of money to promote your job ads, to get more applicants, to get more eyes on the ads, I think is time and money well invested as well. So again, underestimate the value of taking the time to build great ads, because this is really sort of the top of the funnel. This is where people decide to apply or not. And if your ad's not well written, you're just kind of sitting in a sea of other poorly written job ads in an industry that is quite honestly not that attractive for career-minded individuals. So you need to stand out, and you need to really make sure that that career-minded person is actually going to be interested in your ad. So a little extra work and a little extra promotion is going to go a long way. Next up, when it gets to screening, this is, again, we have to screen our applicants and really refine the people that we're going to spend time talking to. And so I think screening those initial applicants, making sure that we get the right people into the next stage of the process, which for me, the next stage is a pre-interview questionnaire. And so this is us sending a document for them to complete or sending them a link to a form to fill out online. Either way, it's going to be very easy to follow. There's going to be a series of questions that are designed to kind of better identify their skills, better understand their experience, understand their attitude, how they react in certain situations, what they're looking for, a little more understanding of their hobbies, interests, work ethic, some really important things that we want to just get more understanding of by asking questions and getting really clear written responses. So the purpose here, we want to save time later. We don't want to do as many in-person interviews. We want to make sure that we've really improved the candidates that we're going to look at when we do get to in-person interviews. And we just want to save ourselves time and money in the process, but still upgrade, you know, our decisions that we make at the end of the day. And so this is just putting a whole series of filters into our hiring process to make sure that we minimize the time spent in person and we kind of maximize the quality of those candidates as they kind of come through our hiring process. So the next step is obviously getting people into seat for an actual interview. And again, when we go to invite people for interviews, we're going to make the decision based on the pre-interviews. We're going to make sure that we're really comfortable with their work experience, their skills, any competencies that we've kind of identified through that pre-interview stage. We want to be able to prepare for the interview and kind of create an interview that I think is a little more tailored to the individual. And so one of the best things that kind of comes out of pre-interviews is a real understanding of the individual, so that when you get to sit down with that person, you're well aware of who they are specifically. You've got in-depth understanding of their experience. And now I think what you're trying to do is really build a little rapport, get to know them a little bit better in person, and then go a little bit deeper into each area of the pre-interview, and just to kind of explore how they react and what they have to say in person. And I think that in-person interview ends up being, you know, more of an opportunity to see if that relationship is going to be a right fit, as opposed to having to comb through all the information to decide if they even meet the criteria. So I think it makes the interview a lot more personable. I think it's gives you an opportunity to really assess whether this is somebody that you want in your inner circle, somebody that you want in your company. And I think that is a big gift in itself, because otherwise we end up kind of fact checking in an interview and not really getting to know the person. And so then you end up kind of getting to know them after you've hired them. So I think there's a lot of merit in doing the pre-interview process. And that way these in-person interviews end up being, you know, less detailed about skills and experience, and a little bit more around the work ethic, their personality, how they kind of react in different situations, maybe a little bit more conversation with more examples about past experiences and things like that. So again, I just think it's a much nicer way to run an interview. Once we've gone through the interview, if we've decided that we found the right person for the job, then I think it becomes important to kind of continue with a hiring process that is a little bit more rigid than I think many landscapers are using. So one, I think actually doing reference checks, and I realize this takes time and we're busy and you just need somebody out there, but at the end of the day, it costs us, you know, somewhere between $7,000 and $15,000 to onboard an employee. And so taking a few extra moments and making calls to make sure that what that candidate has sort of said as being experience or maybe habits or personality, we can just kind of, you know, make sure that those things are actually somewhat accurate by talking to previous employers. So again, we wanna be very respectful in terms of confidentiality, and we wanna be compliant with laws and whatnot. So we gotta make sure that we're clear on that. And I would definitely recommend speaking to a lawyer in your region, just to make sure that what you're doing is legal and the questions you're asking are legal. And typically they'll have a list of questions that they can help you sort of refine for this purpose, for reference check specifically. Again, what we want to do though is we want to make sure that we get an opportunity to speak to somebody who has worked with this individual before. We got to read between the lines a little bit in the conversation as we're asking questions, you know, kind of understanding what they're saying about that individual and what they're not saying sometimes as well, because keep in mind, everybody has to be careful about what they say legally. And so really looking for feedback, I think, on things that went really well and maybe things where you think this, where they think this person could, you know, further develop. And so being as tactful as possible and sort of analyzing that information as it comes in, is a bit of an art, but I think it's a really important step that can save us a lot of time and money wasted on the wrong candidates getting through the interview process. So again, the reference checks, you know, 3 to 4 hours maybe to really hone in on a candidate's references, but $7,000 to $15,000 to onboard an employee, I think there's a lot of merit in taking that extra step. Now, once we've kind of gotten them through all of these stages, I think it comes time for job offers. Again, I think this is botched many, many times. I think I've lived this pain more times than I can remember or care to remember. getting a good job offer is not something that we should just take lightly. This is something that really allows us to set a foundation for a meaningful relationship. And when you decide to hire somebody, that is a really important relationship for both parties. Obviously, they're taking their livelihood and putting it into the hands of the company. They're deciding to come to work with you, and you're deciding to hire them to represent you and you know, finish your sentences and fulfill your promises. And that's a big deal as well. So I think it becomes really important to create clarity, and the job offer should be that clarity. It should be, you know, complete transparency of what the expectations are. And I think really allow the candidate to make a decision for themselves about their future without ever finding out any sort of big surprises after they get through the door. So the better we are as leaders at making sure these job offers are accurate, I think the better our relationships are going to be later on. So we've got clear terms, you know, in terms of job title, start dates, you know, location, reporting, all this kind of stuff. Compensation packages need to be super clear. If there's going to be benefits, what are they? When do they start? Any retirement savings plans, time off, all these important things. Incentive plans need to be made clear if there are any. So there's a lot to go through on a job offer that needs to be very, very clear. And if you're not using job offers at all, this is all going to be done by conversation, which, you know, quite honestly, when employees onboarding, they're a bit nervous. They kind of say yes before thinking, I think, in many cases. And then later, these things become confusing. So I think it's really important to document the detailed terms of the job very, very clearly. Then, you know, making sure that it's handled in a way where it's very personalized, where we're communicating over email, where, you know, we're making it comfortable for people to kind of speak up and negotiate or ask questions. We don't want to kind of push people through a process without giving them a little bit of time to digest the offer, understand, and ask relevant questions. So we want to get the job offer out quickly. We want to give them a little time to review it, even get some legal advice in some cases or most cases. And then, you know, we want to make sure that we're super clear on what's expected, so that when we do get to a job offer with a contract, which is the next stage, that the contract is not something that becomes really shocking. And again, we want to issue a contract, let them take legal advice on that contract. But ultimately, we don't want there to be a lot of surprises here. We want the offer to have really kind of taken care of most of the details. And then, of course, the contract might have deeper wording and a little bit more to review for legal counsel. And so here what we want is job position and duties. We want compensation and benefits, terms of the employment, any non-disclosure agreements that you might have or non-competes for some roles. And then ultimately, we want to be clear on how termination works and any disputes and that kind of thing. So we want to be always as forthright as possible with these contracts. And ultimately, when we get through the offer and the contract, it gets to be really important that we start to focus on new hire procedures. And this is, again, a big gap in most companies. We have a new hire procedure form in your forms library on LMN if you're using the product, along with an entire hiring and onboarding procedure with flowcharts and all the supporting documents to kind of help you through this process, all of the things I've talked about here today. But the new hire procedure is an important one. This really allows you to kind of create a plan for the first 30 days, the first 60 days, the first 90 days that an employee is going to be with you, so that they understand what their responsibilities are during those first 90 days, and so that they also understand what their manager's responsibility is in those 90 days, to make sure that they come into the company in a very specific way, they get the onboarding program that they deserve as an employee, and that the company is having its expectations met by the employee as they go through that experience. And so onboarding, I think, is often highly overlooked as a valuable process in a business. And it really shouldn't be, because ultimately, when we're onboarding staff, we're kind of dictating how much value we're going to get from them in the first 30, 60, 90 days, and even the first year. And I think in this industry, the turnover rates on employees is exceptionally high. And I don't think that there's any secret. The onboarding programs in our industry are very poor. And so really bad onboarding leads to really high turnover rates. So if there is a process that you're going to spend some time really working on in the business to change your retention rates, I think onboarding is the place to start. So how are you going to get better at that? We've got some forms and documents. We've got the Greenius training. Now with the custom course creator, you can build your own onboarding courses, your welcome videos, all these types of things, and deploy that to your employees when they get started. And they also hop on a learning track that you custom design, where they're getting all kinds of courses specific to your company or from our library of courses that allows the employee to kind of come into the company in a little bit more professional way and start training and onboarding using some technology so that they really understand that they've joined a career based company. And so onboarding, what does it look like? I think at the very minimum, there needs to be a good onboarding packet or handbook of some sort. Ideally, you know, we've got uniforms and any tools being issued, safety equipment, these types of things. But we want to start with that initial sort of package. And then we want to make sure that our onboarding program includes safety training, definitely equipment training. And so anything that they're going to be at or near or around, we want to make sure they take training specific to equipment. And then we want to get some job specific training where we make sure that they understand the basic hazards of the type of job they're doing, all the basic skills of that type of job they're doing. They understand the terminology for that's commonly used on those types of crews. And we want to kind of get them out into the field working in a safe way, but also a way where they feel comfortable enough to be there. And depending on what stage they're coming in, whether they're a brand new first year apprentice or an experienced tradesperson, that job specific training needs to be pretty tailored to the person. And so oftentimes this is the manager really deciding what training is going to be best for that specific employee. Intro to the way that the company works. This is like the systems of the business. How do we, get fuel, and how do we return broken equipment, and who do we speak to about time off, and all these little things that become, you know, culture or the way it is in your company need to be shared with new employees in a way where they can sort of get up to speed without having to feel like they have to ask every time an issue comes to mind. So we want to make sure that the company systems and processes are really dialed and that they really understand what those are. So we want to go over all the common systems and processes that are needed on a day-to-day basis. Introduction to the team members that they're going to work with, make sure that they understand what the company resources are in terms of people, equipment, facilities. We want to make sure that they're very comfortable with, you know, all the physical components of the business. So they just understand where things are. They can sort of navigate facilities properly. They understand where to meet in the morning, all these kind of obvious things that are obvious to us because we work there every day that are not obvious to someone brand new to the business. And then, of course, this is when I think it becomes super important to help staff, new staff, understand how you set goals in the company, what the goals are for the company, what they are for crews, and then how we measure those goals. And I think as part of onboarding, when every employee comes in, to really have that opportunity to understand what success looks like during the early days of onboarding, I think there's a much, much higher likelihood that they're going to kind of mesh with your company culture and contribute sooner because they understand the goals, they understand the success metrics, understand how things are measured, and I think they know where to focus their efforts a lot sooner. Training, I think this is, you know, the ultimate proof that you are a career-minded company. When new employees join a company and they go through a poor onboarding process, and then they get put to work and they haven't had any training yet, I think they immediately start to question whether or not they selected the right company, and definitely start to question whether or not this is a career. The onboarding experience, the way that you sort of bring people into the company, has to include training. If it doesn't include training, then they're going to assume that your company is a little bit of a fly-by-the-seat company. And I think they'll keep looking for better opportunity. Anybody that's really, really good quality, career-minded person is looking for a company with training and development at the forefront. And so if when you hire people, that's not there, expect that they're not going to last long. Not only that, but you are then hiring people to come and work in your company who have not worked there before and have not had any training, and now you want them to finish your sentences and get the work done the way you promised. And that's just not reasonable. So training becomes paramount. As soon as we've hired and we've gone through the basic onboarding, that initial onboarding, we need to really start to get focused on training. And so that training with Greenius is definitely very focused around on-the-job training, safety training, technical skills, and a lot of other skills related to waste elimination, working lean, understanding project timelines, understanding estimates, understanding safe work habits, understanding the skills, working with other people. It could be defensive driving. There's just an endless list of training in there. We've got hundreds of courses in Greenius to help your company really create improvement in the areas that are needed. And so you can kind of, the nice part with Greenius is you can pick from that list and assign training as a pathway, or you can just assign training in an area where you're finding there's an ongoing problem. But for new employees specifically, you can put them on a career training program that's predetermined that you've created for new employees, and ensure that they kind of take the right training over the first 90 days to really bring them into the company in a way where they can contribute. They understand your company culture, they understand what success looks like, and they can work safely and start to develop skills right out of the gate. And so as we built Greenius, one thing that we've really, really sort of focused on is creating the custom course builder capability. And this feature allows you to point and shoot video on your own, upload to YouTube or to Vimeo, and then embed those videos in your own courses, create test questions, create other slides or supporting documents that go with the course, and then really allow your staff to go through and take courses that are really specific to your company. And I think this is really valuable when building onboarding programs in the business, and even really trying to address ongoing issues or things that are very specific to your company. And then, of course, you know, job site specific training, could be equipment specific training, all sorts of things that are really applicable in your own business. But again, without a training program, you can't really expect to attract career-minded people. And you certainly can't expect to keep them if you don't have any development built into the business plan. So thank you for joining this week. I post daily content on LinkedIn and Instagram. So if you're not following me there, go ahead and click one of the links here, the QR codes, and add me. And I will continue to share tips and tricks related to this topic and many others. I'll take some questions now if there are any, and if not, thanks for joining, and I'll see you again next week. Don't see any questions here, just a few thank yous. Don't see much else, but definitely feel free to reach out and message me on LinkedIn or Instagram. I'll always get back to you there. And if not, you can always reach out to your account manager at LMN. They'll be more than happy to help you with any questions as well. Thanks again. I really appreciate you joining.